My brothers and sisters in Christ, does faith make any real difference in our lives? Does faith make any difference in our lives? I think Saint Naaman, the Syrian general, and the 10 lepers that Jesus met would say it does. After his servants reasoned with him, Naaman, who at first scoffed at the idea that the waters of the Jordan River, this river, it's not a very big river, that they could cure him of leprosy. Finally, Naaman did what his servants urged him to do. He went down, listened to the word of God from Elisha, the prophet, went down to the river, washed 7 times, and his leprosy disappeared. He finally believed that the prophet knew the will of God, and he acted on that faith. And the 10 lepers had an incipient faith that led them to cry out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Separated from other people because of their disease, they nonetheless must have heard about Jesus' extraordinary power to heal the sick. So they had enough faith to implore his aid for themselves, huh? And their faith was rewarded. On the way to show themselves to a Jewish priest who could authenticate the cure, they were healed. You know, faith in God made a real difference in the lives of these men. And faith still does make a difference. I knew a woman whose husband had left her with 2 small children. She had to go out and find a job. She did. She had to make sure the children got, they were little ones, but they were first years of school. She meant to get them to school before going to work. But she got up, she told me, she got up an hour early, an hour before her children each day, put on a pot of coffee, read scripture, and prayed. And she told me that that hour with God got her through the day. Her faith made a difference in her life. A couple I knew had 5 miscarriages to begin their marriage. Not just the women present here who have been mothers or are mothers, but the men too would realize what a burden that was. I've got a list of couples that have had miscarriages. I pray for them every day. But 5 in a row. But they trusted that God would give them healthy children if they persevered. And God did. They ended up with 6 children. That couple's faith made a difference in their life. An American priest I know is a missionary in the small West African country of Togo. In 16 years there, he has built a large church in the principal village, numerous chapels and smaller villages, 5 elementary schools, a middle school, and a high school. He's also, with the people, they've dug wells to get pure water rather than going a couple miles down to a polluted river. He's helped supported the efforts of his parishioners to produce, we'd move past subsistence farming to producing crops for market. And along the way, he has baptized hundreds and hundreds of adults and children by preaching the gospel to them and inviting them to share his faith in Christ. His faith makes a difference in his life and theirs. So too did the, you might remember a few years ago, there were 20 men who were brought into the, they were in the desert in northern Africa, Sahara Desert, I guess. And a terrorist group had kidnapped them and asked them all, "What faith are you?" 19 of them were Christians, and so the terrorists beheaded them. The 20th one was not a Christian, but he said, they asked him, "What religion are you?" He said, "Well, I want to believe in their God." So they beheaded him too. Rather than renounce their faith in Christ and live, they stood fast and died. Their faith made a difference, and they're surely with God in heaven. Ask yourself, is your faith in Christ making a difference in your life, in the life of your family, in your interactions with friends, neighbors, and co-workers? There's another aspect in our readings that deserves attention: gratitude. Naaman returned to thank the prophet Elisha. And despite not being an Israelite, he declared that the God of Israel was the one true God. And the Samaritan leper cured by Jesus came back to thank him and to glorify God. Jesus took that opportunity to speak of the importance of being grateful for God's blessings. 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other nine? What, has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God? You know, we all have challenges in living our faith, and some among you bear very heavy burdens. But God has blessed every one of us in many ways. Are we grateful to the Lord for his kindness to us? Do we praise God for his mercy as the Samaritan did? Pope Francis, in one of his apostolic letters, recalls the teaching that he and many of us heard from our parents when we were little children. Say please and say thank you, right? When we ask for God's help because we believe he cares for us, we should say, in some fashion, please. When we have received a blessing from the Lord, he deserves to hear from us, thank you. My brothers and sisters in Christ, 200 years ago, men and women who shared our faith founded the first Catholic community in Wheeling, when it was still a part of Virginia and belonged to the Diocese of Richmond, then only 2 years old. They were not content simply to pray in their humble homes, as good and helpful as that was. They wanted to gather as Catholics to celebrate Mass and the other sacraments. They persevered. They built a little church. Finally, they were erected as an official parish. And their faith bore fruit as that little parish grew, eventually becoming the cathedral parish of the Diocese of Wheeling when it was founded in 1850. Can anyone doubt that they had a vigorous faith in God's love, or that they were grateful for the blessings that God had bestowed on them? We are the spiritual descendants of those early Wheeling Catholics. We are responsible for guarding their legacy and building upon it. And as we come out of the COVID pandemic, and we all ardently hope that we are coming out of it, our pastoral council is striving to reinvigorate parish life. The parish festival we had on the Sunday of Labor Day weekend, well attended, just a wonderful event, that was part of that effort to reinvigorate the life of this cathedral parish. Anniversary dinner we'll have in the chancery after this Mass is another effort, and there'll be more parish activities planned. But the greatest challenge, my people, is people. That's the greatest challenge. Many Catholics who used to worship with us and take part in other parts of parish life are no longer with us for a great variety of reasons, some very serious, others not so much. But they are our brothers and sisters. You who are here this evening, you have the responsibility to invite them to come back. I've been here 3 years now, and I'm all around the diocese. Last weekend had Masses here, this weekend. That's rare that I have 2 weekends in a row here in my cathedral parish. So I don't know all these people, but you do. You know who those absent Catholics are. You also know other people who live in this area who have no religious affiliation at all, but who might be open to the gift of faith. For their good and to build up our parish, encourage them to consider our Catholic faith. How do you do that? You do it first with a spiritual preparation, and that it's a simple preparation, and it's within everyone's reach. It's within the reach of the children here in, up in the front. It's within the reach of the homebound and those who are following this Mass on TV or live streamed. What do you do? First, pray for the absent Catholics and possible new converts whom you know, and do it every day, that their hearts and minds will be open to the gift of faith or a renewed faith. Again, you know who they are. If there are lots of them, make a list. But pray for them every day. They will be open to the gift of faith and a stronger faith. Second, fast for them once a week. You can fast from food or from a favorite TV show or other legitimate activity, something. Fasting is a prayer of the body. It engages us more fully. Huh? So fast for those for whom you are praying, and do that once a week. Third, offer your hardships, your sufferings, and your good works up to God for those for whom you are praying. When you dedicate your sufferings and your service to others in the cause of bringing people to the Lord, to draw them closer to Christ, that increases the merits of offering those sufferings and good works up to the Lord. Finally, ask the Lord to give you the opportunity to speak to absent Catholics and the religiously unaffiliated in a simple, personal way about why your faith in Christ and your belonging to his people matter to you. You are experts on your own life. You know why your faith in Christ matters to you. You know why belonging to this Catholic people matters to you. You can speak of that with authority because you're living it. As St. Paul told Timothy, the word of God is not chained. You are speaking that word on God's behalf when you approach others on the behalf of faith. If you think, hey, that's not my business, think again. Remember Paul's words. I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, together with eternal glory. We call others to faith in Christ for their eternal good. God will reward their faith and ours. As Jesus told the Samaritan, your faith has saved you.